This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
The very handsome Jewish man, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Can I just say one thing, Don?
Sure.
You're not Don.
It stands,
But it's not!
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to ENN.
On TV.
Ray Rowe.
That's right. And ENN tonight, by the way, it's brought to you by Sunday Night Baseball. All season long, listen to 98.7 ESPN for ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you. Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. You know that to be true, Michael.
Yeah.
Experience the store for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com today. I'd like to start off also by saying good evening to Michael.
I'm a blob, not well-defined.
And good evening to Don.
Meanwhile, if you walk in there with a tall boy, you'll get handcuffed.
And to Don again.
It would be forced and it would die.
And to Don again.
From grape to raisin to dust.
That's the title of his 8th book.
And to Peter. Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds.
Wow,
the Ravens.
Peter had the perfect day?
I guess so. And to Michael, Don, and myself.
So you think that 61 should be on HBO, should be easy for people, but you don't have a problem with it being on Apple TV, which is not easy for people.
I don't know what that means.
I don't understand what just happened.
Thank you, Peter.
Oh, that was good. That was good. Let's talk Aaron Judge for a moment, shall we? Let's hear from the man himself. Here's Judge on his amazing throw from right to catch Tommy Pham.
He's trying to make a play like anybody else. You know, I got a lot of respect for those guys over there, so that means a lot. But, you know, Pham's a good runner, good hitter. You know, just trying to make a play for my closer. That's it.
And to Judgey, did you think the ball was going out in the ninth?
No. Just got underneath it a little bit. Pretty windy night, so I was hoping maybe it was blowing out the time I was hitting, but just missed it. But it lined up for a nice little JD walk-off, that's for sure.
And all lastly, does he feel that the Red Sox pitched around him last night?
No, I don't think so. You know, Walker, you know, he does a good job of commanding the zone, you know, down away and then, you know, throwing a good sinker, changeup combo inside. So I think he was just trying to hit his spots and, you know, it was a little chillier today and he just, you know, missed a couple pitches. But you know, I don't think anybody's really changed anything they haven't done all year.
Now, Michael, do you think we'll see any sort of different pitching approach tonight? Like, was anything yesterday Waka specific, or you think it's just a Red Sox philosophy?
I would think it's Waka specific. I mean, and Rich Hill doesn't have nearly the stuff that Waka has, so he's going to have to try to get him out, you know, with a little bit of this and a little bit of that. He doesn't throw very hard, so I think he's going to work the corners. I don't think he's going to come across the plate with anything. Waka occasionally did, but he also worked the corners. So in generalities, I think the Red Sox are going to ask him to expand the zone, and if he doesn't, then they'll walk him. They'll gladly take the walk. And what would help Judge is if the Yankees have him come up to the plate with the bases loaded, then you can't really pitch around him.
Is Rich Hill the oldest player in baseball? Is anybody older than 42?
I think that might be the oldest. Brady's 45, but that's not baseball.
No, not last I checked. I'm sure somebody on Twitter will get back to us on that. I think he must be.
What does that mean for you, Don?
Oh, he's going up against the oldest player in baseball tonight.
Right. You mean hit him. Hit this guy.
Yeah. But I guess the Yankee Nation doesn't want him to get it done.
Of course they do.
Well, not the ones calling the show. They want you on the call, Michael.
Well, they might want me on the call, but they want it to be done. I mean, I think they're looking at it as if he doesn't get it tonight. The fallback is, you know, they get the Yes crew that they're used to calling the game tomorrow. But I think they want him to get it done tonight. I don't think there's anybody rooting against him.
Well, I hope not, because you can get even bigger number, right? I mean, that's why you're settling for 62, and you've got plenty of games left to maybe reach 70. Who knows?
Before we get into some NFL, of course, we have the NFL announcer lineup coming up.
Can't wait for it. Hopefully it's the whole thing if you're a man.
Wow.
But the Celtics situation unfolds a bit further. We now know that Ime Udoka will be suspended for a year.
I have a hot take, Peter.
Mm.
But we
will never, ever coach for the Celtics again.
I don't know how hot that is.
Okay.
I think that may just be the take.
It's as hot as it was when I said it yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, wow. That's tough.
What a jerk.
What?
So,
who, me?
So
no, Peter, yeah. You.
He means you.
Go ahead, okay. Peter.
Thank you. Anyways, so the Celtics announced the suspension, but also made specific mention of the fact that his future would be basically assessed down the line, not yet. So they intentionally propped the door to dismissal open. They've also said there's a significant financial penalty. And apparently there was a relationship. This is rumored that there was a relationship happening, and at some point the relationship ended, and maybe there were comments that continued that someone was uncomfortable with, which led to an investigation, a month-long investigation with lots of interviews, and the Celtics landed on what they landed on. Now, people have been all over the map with different takes on this, feeling it's too harsh. Stephen A. went really up and in on the Celtics yesterday and the way that they've handled this differently than it seems like other situations have been handled. My thought, guys, is there is something at the core of this thing that makes it it made it more imperative that the Celtics act in this fashion. They're not, I don't know, man, the Celtics are a pretty buttoned up organization. They're not known for terrible culture or decision making or being hasty, and we know they loved Udoka as a coach. So, I don't know, guys. I feel like we're going to find out there's something at the core of this. You know, maybe one of the people who was involved was connected in some other way to someone else. I just think this was more personal than we realize.
Personal in what way? I mean, they don't have anything against Udoka. Obviously, something happened. The one thing I kind of blame the Celtics for, why make it so mysterious and secret so that there are other women in the Celtics organization that have to, you know, have these rumors swirling around? Is it them? Is it her? Is it? That's not right. I guess they're trying to keep private the person that it really was, but you're then throwing open the door for everyone to be scrutinized and hypothesized on whether that's the person that Udoka had the relationship with. It's just sloppy.
But again, this is why the fact that everything got out. Don, follow me on this.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that everything got out. The fact that the punishment is so severe for someone who is clearly so effective as a coach in year one taken to the finals. All of that says to me, Don, that someone in that organization was affected by this in a very profound way. That's because they leaked it. They felt like telling the world about it because Stephen A's right. This kind of thing can stay in-house and still get dealt with. It did not. It got leaked. And like I said, this is not a super leaky organization.
No.
So this happened for a reason, and I understand why people are upset by the amount of time for the suspension, but I'm waiting to see exactly what the story was here.
You know, people can get all like, oh, you can't keep it. If you're a professional organization, you want to keep something quiet, you can keep it quiet.
Super leaky. Wasn't that the song by Rick James?
Mm. You mean Super Freak?
Oh, because it was super freaky.
Yeah.
Didn't have a super freaky reference on my bingo card for today's show.
Mm-hmm.
Who did?
But that's the thing.
That's the show.
By the way, Miss Hatton just pulled a Michael K on Twitter and went up and in on someone who had a nasty thing to say about Rocky going to the game. You'd be very proud.
She should go up and in on me.
Well, different. The language used and
so
sort of.
I should call this up.
Yeah, call him and see if he made any cogent points.
No. Don, believe me, he did not make cogent points on language alone. And in fact, Don, I don't want you to read it. You're saying now, Don, you read it, you'll walk off the show and go looking for this man.
Really?
That's my prediction.
See, I don't have any plans tonight. Let's see.
All right, let's move into the football of it all. Joe Flacco was on earlier with DiPietro and Rothenberg. And
so Joe Flacco has talked to Rick more than I have.
Wow, it's still Rick.
That still, hasn't resolved itself?
Huh. That's scary stuff.
Now, see, I'm on Michael's side with this one. I know Michael sometimes is very hasty to end relationships or whatever, but, God, what was that, Tuesday, his birthday?
He did text yesterday about he took a shot at Peter, but never a thank you for the birthday wish, so I didn't even read his shot at Peter.
Wow. You're sick.
I just read what the guy said. I might go find him.
But his birthday, I'm just looking when I text Rick. It was had to be like Monday or Tuesday. It's been a while.
Albert Pujols is the oldest active player.
He's 43.
He born January 16th, 1980.
Oh, that
makes
sense.
Would make him 42.
No, he's also 42. So, all right. So we're talking a matter of months. Monday was his birthday.
Well, then Albert's older. You know whose birthday it is today?
No. Monday was Rick's birthday. I'm sorry.
Oh. Do you know whose birthday it is today? Big celebrity?
Go ahead.
Big celebrity. Like major. Like if he came to your house, you would talk about it for the rest of your life. Bruce Springsteen, 73.
Wow, that's amazing that he's that old.
Matt.
Oh, March 11th, by the way, for Rich Hill.
So
just a couple of months.
Yep.
So Matt Barnes, by the way, back to the Celtics for 1 second. Former NBA vet, now
closing for the Red Sox.
Red Sox closer and famed podcaster Matt Barnes said he originally made a statement on the Udoka situation and then had to go delete his tweet after doing research and talking to people in Boston and getting more of the story.
So
he said the reason I erased my post yesterday is because after I posted it, I got a phone call from someone who knew all the details, and the ish is deep. Pray for everyone involved. Hope everyone gets through this. Some things that happen that I can't condone, that I can't take, that I can't back.
So this isn't your simple infidelity or inappropriateness. This seems like it goes well beyond that. If you're starting to pray for people and can't, that's.
And I mean, Matt Barnes is a reliable source at this point. I mean, let's just wait and see this whole thing play out. I would not die on any hill defending anyone with regard to this at this point. Joe Flacco, what is his relationship like with Zach Wilson?
That's awesome, man. I mean, you know, our QB room's great. I think we've had a bunch of guys that have played at a high level and, you know, have to put some things aside at certain points. But, like, we have a great QB room. We have a lot of fun in there. You know, we push each other to work hard and get better. So I've been having a lot of fun, and Zach's a great young kid. That's why, you know, like I said, I'm excited to see him get out there and play when he's healthy.
More with DNR and Joe Flacco. If you play well this week, should you start week 4?
No, listen, I'm happy to have been able to put this team in an opportunity to kind of set up the rest of our season, you know, but when Zach gets healthy, I'm excited for him to get out there and let it fly a little bit. So anytime you get a chance to play in this league, you're grateful for the opportunity, and I just want to continue to go out there and play the best I can and continue to put ourselves, you know, our team in a chance to win some football games.
Last thing from Flacco. Here's Flacco on getting a win after Saleh's receipts comments from last week.
Listen, I think people want to make such a big deal about everything. Like, what do you expect them to say? Of course he's taking receipts, you know. That's what probably anybody is at least thinking. As a player, when you hear your head coach say that, it just kind of confirms how you feel he feels about us. You know, I think we already know that, but for him to go out there and on publicly, and it shows players how much I think this team means to him. And I think for us as players, it makes us even more want to go out there and play for him and play for each other and make sure we can, you know, hold up our end of that.
I always do take exception to whenever somebody says something, like makes a prediction or a guarantee, well, what do you want them to say? We're going to lose? He didn't have, again, I have no problem with what he said, but don't make it seem like it was the only thing he could say. And Saleh's right. He didn't cash in on his comment because he beat Cleveland. That was a long-term statement. As Bob Wischusen would say, that's a wide-angle lens view.
Does he say that?
Oh, yeah.
What does he say that in terms of?
Like when he's talking to Saleh, I mean, you can listen to it in the pregame. I love it. It's a great question. Let's get more of a wide-angle lens on this season.
So that's a Wischusenism.
He's the only person I heard say it. I think it makes sense. I think it's colorful.
You've always been a big Wischusen fan.
Big Wischusen guy.
I have always said he's a hack, and you fight me on it.
How can you say he's a hack? He's terrific.
So I'm trying to have good radio, okay?
I mean, he's aroused by his own voice.
Well,
not everybody's perfect. But as an announcer, as a friend, as a human being, as a father, as a husband?
You really think he's a close friend of yours, Stop?
Well, listen, I don't think he would say that.
He's
but
not.
I've known the guy for 25 years.
You think he considers you a close friend?
No, I don't think he does. I consider him a close friend.
But how could you consider him a close friend if he doesn't consider you?
Because not everything has to be equal. I've confided. I've had issues, and I've called him. Talk stuff out. He's never done that with me, but that doesn't stop me from calling him.
Sounds like a one-sided love.
No, story. I it does. It sounds like it because it might be.
No, that's
sad. But does that make it where I now have to stop? I mean, it's not like we have a romantic relationship where things have to be even. I'm friends with plenty of people where I'm probably closer to them than vice versa. I do it every day with Andrew.
Right. You know Andrew hates your guts.
Well, hopefully yeah. It's the whole thing if you're a man.
Andrew, is this true that you hate Don's guts?
I never said that, Andrew.
It is so ridiculous, and Don has pushed this narrative
for
years.
Wait a minute.
I
didn't say you hate me. I just say that the relationship is not equal. I like
I said already,
like
Don,
me.
It was embarrassing.
Don't
scream at me on
defend
the show.
Him.
But I'm not even mad. That was what, everything in life is fair and equal and balanced?
It should be in a perfect world, like in John Lennon's song Imagine.
Listen, all life is navigating inclines and declines.
Interesting.
Guys, I think we have to do something here.
What?
I think we're going to have to do the NFL announcer lineup in the next segment.
Right. And it better be every single game.
Hopefully it's the whole thing if you're
walking.
A man.
It's a lot of pressure you're putting on me. But before we get to that, and we will do it in moments, let's hear from Jerry Jones talking about how he would love to have a quarterback controversy in Dallas.
So you'd want that? You'd want that controversy?
Of course I would.
Okay.
Of course that means we'd won. If it comes in here and played as well as Prescott played, Rush, played that well over these next games ahead, I'd walk New York to get that.
Do you think he can do that?
Well, I don't know that, but you can't find on record where I said I thought Dak Prescott could do it when he stepped in and had the chance to do that, but he did it.
You tell him, Jerry. I'm a big Jerry supporter.
That's not a hill you should die on.
Well, you know, I'm not dying on it. I'm thriving on it.
This is an interesting piece of audio. Richard Sherman and KJ Wright discussing Pete Carroll's relationship with Russell Wilson in Seattle.
He was not held to the same accountability as the rest of us. You bashing the defense. I need you to at least mention his name in the team meeting room.
But there wasn't enough years difference for the accountability thing to be like that. Well, he was young. It was like, well, he was a year younger than us. Like, he ain't that young. When you got 52 guys being held to a certain standard, you got one guy not being held to the standard, then it's going to cause some friction. After a while, it had to get to the point where he chose Russ or the defense. And after the Super Bowl loss, he kind of made it pretty clear who he was choosing. And then you hear the truth from Pete for the first time, you know, after the game.
Coach Carroll is funny.
He is funny.
He is funny. You went 10 years keeping everything tight in the locker room. Let's keep it tight. As soon as this man leaves, you let it all air out.
Well, I guess you only protect the team when you own the team, kid.
Exactly.
Why is that so unusual? I mean, his quarterback he's going to protect. Now he's quarterback of the Broncos.
So yeah, that part's not
it's
amusing.
A different take.
But is it that crazy to side with your quarterback over everything else? I mean, that's kind of what happened with the decline of both organizations in Baltimore and Seattle, where you win a Super Bowl, now you got to pay the quarterback. And then who do you end up losing when you pay the quarterback? A bunch of good defenders. That's the way it ends up working, right?
Yeah,
that's what ended up breaking up the Legion of Boom was that you had to pay Russell Wilson. Why? Because the quarterback's more important than everybody else. So is it that crazy that in a face-off that you would side with your quarterback?
It's not unusual.
You should side with your quarterback.
Cincinnati Bengals playing at the Jets this weekend.
Sure.
Let's hear from Joe Burrow talking about this team being at 0-2.
Very comfortable. Those guys are working hard to get it right. I can do a lot more to help them too, and we can do more with play calling to help them as well. So we're getting this thing right. Nobody's panicking. Myself, everyone is frustrated, but like I said, we're not panicking. Two games in, we got 15 games left. So I'll just take a deep breath and relax. We're going to be fine. We're not worried about it.
See, that's Joe Cool right there, baby. Joe Cool Burrow, JB.
Now, there's only been two seasons with the extra wild card. But no 0-2 team has made the playoffs in those two seasons.
Wow.
Now, I think that'll change. But there's just too many playoff spots, right? But 0-3? No matter what your format, they lose to the Jets. Now, they're going to be in some trouble. Now, that division may open up for them because it looks like Pittsburgh and Cleveland, I don't know whether they'll be wild card teams or whatever, but 0-3 might be tough. I bet you he's not feeling comfortable 0-3.
You can't really knock Cleveland, though, Don. I mean, realistically, they're 3-0 without their starting quarterback.
True, but again, are they one of the teams you think of that is going to make the playoffs over Cincinnati, or that, you know, you look at the AFC, would you list Pittsburgh and Cleveland as candidates for those three wild card spots? I think Baltimore's winning the division. That'll be the team that'll take advantage of Cincinnati's plight, but the way Miami's playing, even Denver's off to a slow start. Vegas is 0-2 as well, but I think those teams will bounce back.
We got a break here and then come back with the announcer lineup. Andrew, before we break, one question. U.S. loses to Japan in a little warm-up for the World Cup? That's
not good.
No.
No, it was bad. It's not just that they lost, but they played horribly. So not a great – this is kind of the final dress rehearsal before the real thing in the World Cup in 2 months, and it was not pretty.
Yeah, I watched it too, Andrew. You're so right, yeah.
Look, he asked. What do you want me to say?
No, I broke down the tape.
The remote?
Yeah.
All right. More.
If you're not watching USA Soccer, then you're a moron.
That's an oldie but a good.
Oh, it sure is. All right. Your full NFL announcer lineup
no.
on the other
yes!
side. That's right, Michael.
Yay!
Hang tight. More ENN next on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
You know what time it is. It's Friday, and it's time for your NFL announcer lineup. 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we go to Carolina. We go to the Fox Network. The New Orleans Saints and the Carolina Panthers. Michael, you have the Panthers, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Very interesting choice. You definitely stole that from someone. Dan Helly, DC's own, and Matt Millen on the call on Fox.
Wait, this is the entire announcer lineup you're doing?
Oh, yeah.
Don asked for it.
Then you know what? This is going to cost Don. Because his best buddy in the world, Dan Grosser, won't get on the air. Go. Give the entire lineup. Give next week's, too.
Well, let him go, man. He'll get there.
It's going to be quick. Houston Texans at the Chicago Bears. CBS on the call. Andrew Catalan and James Lofton. You remember him, Don.
Sure.
Former great Buffalo Bill. We go to Indianapolis. Also CBS. Also 1 p.m. A Don LaGreca special. The Kansas City Chiefs at the Indianapolis Colts. Jim Nance on the call. He's, of course, joined by Tony Romo.
Well, they're not giving you any sound either. They're making this a very bad segment.
And Tracy Wolfson. There'll be sound. Then we continue on to Miami. And this is a game I considered. I don't know about you, Don. Considered riding the Bills again. We'll look back at this 5.5 and think, oh, it was a short line. We were falling in love with Tua, but the Bills are the Bills. Bills favored by 5.5 in Miami. And for a game like this on CBS, you know who you need. Kevin Harlan on the call. He'll be joined by the great Trent Green. Up next on Fox, Detroit at Minnesota in the NFC North clash that no one's talking about. Brandon Gowden and Brady Quinn on the call. Hmm. An AFC Fox vehicle, anyone? The Baltimore Ravens at the New England Patriots. Another game I consider taking and sort of regret not taking. Joe Davis and Daryl Moose Johnston on the call. And, of course, right here in New York at MetLife Stadium, the Cincinnati Bengals, 0-2, desperate. The AFC defending champions need a win. They will try to get it against Cool Hand Joe Flacco and the New York Jets on CBS. On the call, your good friend Ian Eagle.
What is happening here?
He'll be joined by Charles Davis. Another game I considered touching but didn't.
The lobby is bustling. There is an energy here.
Oh! We've got a Washburn sighting, everyone. We have a Washburn sighting. We go to Tennessee, the Las Vegas Raiders, 2-point favorites at the Titans. Don, you know who's on the call for a vehicle like this, even though it's an AFC game?
That'd be Kenny Albert.
How'd you know that?
I know what's going on, my buddies.
Kenny Albert and Jonathan Vilma on the call. Now, Michael jumping all over the Commandos game. My Commies versus the Eagles at FedEx Field in Washington. On the call, a man who was very good last night, Adam Amin.
Aaron Judge, center field, way back, Bob Hernandez is there.
It's funny because it was a great call, and I feel for him, but it just came up just a tad short. Adam Amin will, of course, be joined by Mark Schlereth and Christina Pink on the sideline.
So that's stinking pink.
See, we don't have that if we don't do the whole thing.
See, thank you, Don. Takes us to the 405 window. The Jacksonville Jaguars at the LA Chargers on CBS. And for a game like this, you know who you need. Gumbel the Gumbel, Greg Gumbel. He'll be joined by the great Adam Archuleta.
Gumbel does not like talk radio, sports talk radio.
What do you mean?
He said he doesn't like sports talk radio.
Recently?
The hot takes, yeah, he said about 3 weeks ago.
Wow.
And he was one of the FAN originals.
That's right. Oh, very interesting. I did not know.
That's why.
425 Eastern. The Los Angeles Rams go to the Arizona Cardinals in an NFC West clash. On Fox, Kevin Kugler on the call, joined by the great Mark Sanchez.
Sanchez is very good on the air.
I do like Sanchez. Of the new former players who have popped up as regular color analysts, I enjoy Mark Sanchez. The Atlanta Falcons at the Seattle Seahawks. For a game like this, there's only one man, Chris Myers, who could be on the call. He'll be joined by Robert Smith. By the way, when did Robert Smith start doing these games? And is that Minnesota Vikings Robert Smith?
I believe it is.
I heard him last week, and I swear I did not know Robert Smith did games. Now, this is the big daddy, the Green Bay Packers at the Tampa Bay Bucks.
Ballard,
Rodgers, Brady, Burkhart.
Keith, these are definitely not pumpkins.
Greg Olsen as well. God, what a game. God, that's a drop-dead sexy, sexy broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
Takes us to Sunday Night Football in Denver. The San Francisco 49ers, 1-point favorites at the Broncos. On the call, Mike Tirico, Chris Collinsworth.
I feel great.
And Melissa Stark, which, of course, takes us to the Monday Nighter. Last but not least, the Cowboys and your New York Giants on ESPN and ABC. Joe Buck on the call. He will be joined by the great Troy Aikman.
Come on, Daddy.
And Lisa Salters. And, of course, guys, there will be a Manning cast as well on ESPN2. And that will do it for ENN and your Week 2 NFL announcer lineup.
Well done. Well done.
I want to give you
the starting pitching for tonight's Mets-A's game in Oakland. Brought to you by Nissan. Chris Bassett gets the start for the Mets, 14-8, 3.32. He will oppose Cole Irvin of the A's, 9-11, 3.79. So a good record for Cole Irvin on a bad team. That is today's Mets pitching matchup brought to you by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com, today. We'll come back. We'll take some phone calls. We've got a Yankee injury report we have to give you as well. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.